We're working our way through Luke's Gospel on Sunday mornings, and we have arrived at this point where we see the interaction between John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist sends some of his disciples to ask questions of Jesus, and Jesus gives an answer, and then Jesus speaks about John the Baptist, and then Jesus speaks to the unbelieving Pharisees. That's what the passage is about. It's all about Jesus and John the Baptist. The passage falls very naturally into three divisions. You notice from verses 18 to 23 that you have this business of John the Baptist sending his disciples and Jesus sending his answer. That's 18 to 23. And then when they had gone, from verse 24, Jesus speaks about John the Baptist. And he reveals who John the Baptist was and what his position was in the kingdom of God. And that goes up to verse 28. And then from verse 29 to the end of the passage that I read in verse 35, Jesus speaks to the unbelieving Pharisees. So we have the passage divided into those three sections. And what I want to do this morning, therefore, is to look at each of those sections and to see what lessons we learn from them. Now please remember, as we've been working our way through Luke's Gospel, I've made this point again and again from this pulpit, that the purpose of Luke's Gospel was to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, of course, the purpose of the whole Bible. Wherever you look in the Bible, right from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you are looking at teaching about the Lord Jesus. But Luke's Gospel has this very specific purpose. He always speaks about Christ. He reports the works of Christ. He reports the teachings of Christ. He reports all the various activities of the Lord Jesus. And they're all designed to do this, to reveal Christ, his glory, his beauty, his majesty to us. And this passage, of course, is no exception. Although there is a lot of John the Baptist in it, it is, of course, a passage about Christ. So there are three lessons about Christ this morning from this passage. And the first is this. This passage teaches us that Christ is the promised Savior. Christ is the promised Savior. Verses 18 to 23. John the Baptist has been imprisoned. And John the Baptist calls his disciples to him, two of his disciples. And he sends them to Jesus. And he says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the promised Messiah? Are you the one about whom Moses wrote in his law? Are you the one about whom the prophets, Isaiah and Hosea and Micah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, are you the ones about whom they wrote, or are we going to be looking for somebody else? Have we been deceived into thinking that you are the promised Messiah? Are you the one?" Now, the Lord Jesus could have sent an answer like, "Well, of course I am the one." But Jesus gives an answer because John the Baptist knew his Bible. And Jesus knew that John the Baptist would need biblical proof for what he's saying. This is an important principle in the Christian life. Whatever statement you hear, somebody comes to you and says, "I'm going to teach you some truth. I'm going to tell you something that is true." Your first question must be, "Show me the verses in the Bible. I'm not interested in your views, in your opinions, in your ideas. Will you show me verses in the Bible?" And Jesus knew that John the Baptist would say the same thing. "You claim to be the Messiah. Where are the verses in the Bible? Where is the proof?" And so Jesus says to these two disciples in verse 22, he says, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now this is a very direct reference to the Old Testament. Particularly, there's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 35. And this is what the Lord revealed to the people of Israel in Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. I would encourage you to go, when you go home, read Isaiah chapter 35. It's a wonderful passage. And like many passages in the prophecy of Isaiah, it is about Christ. Isaiah was this prophet who had been given this great privilege of speaking about Christ, prophesying Christ. And we all know chapter 53 of his prophecy, very famous, where he speaks about the cross of Christ and the purpose of the death of Christ. But in this particular passage in Isaiah 35, he's been speaking about the Messiah who is to come and the works that the Messiah will do. And Isaiah is very, very specific. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And Jesus says to the disciples of John the Baptist, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Of course, this is not the only place in Isaiah where you have prophecy of Christ. You also have a prophecy of Christ in chapter 55. You have a prophecy of Christ in chapter 61. And all these things are drawn together in these words. What lesson do we draw from them? Well, the lesson is very simply this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the prophet, the priest, the king, the savior who was prophesied in the Old Testament. He is the savior whom God has promised. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have done right. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation is secure. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus and you trust him alone for your salvation, your sins are forgiven. You have been cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You have been redeemed from slavery to sin. You have indeed been brought into the kingdom of God. You have been reconciled to the Father. You are a beloved child of God. Those are facts. These are not feelings. These are not opinions. These are not the thoughts of a man. These are facts. They are eternally true. You are eternally forgiven and eternally redeemed and eternally cleansed and eternally reconciled to the Father. And you will never ever lose your salvation because Christ is the eternal Savior sent by God for his people. You know, John the Baptist does something that a lot of us do. When he ran into difficulties, when he was imprisoned, and he knew there was a very high probability that he would not leave that prison alive, indeed he did not leave it alive, he, in a sense, for a time, lost his perspective. I'm not in any way judging John the Baptist. I'm certainly not condemning John the Baptist, because he was a very great man. But he did something I think a lot of Christians do. He lost his perspective for a time. And instead of looking at the Word of God, and instead of looking at spiritual realities, he focused on his problems. Instead of looking heavenward, he looked downward. Instead of looking at Christ and his Father in heaven, he began to look at himself and his difficulties. This is something we all do. I do it, you do it. And the moment we do that, the moment we take our eyes off the scripture, and the moment we take our eyes off God in heaven, and our Lord Jesus sat at his right hand, and the moment we begin to focus in upon ourselves, and think only of ourselves, and think only of the problems that we are in, well, of course we're going to run into difficulties. Because we're not looking in the right place. We're not looking at heaven, we're not looking at God, we're not looking at Christ, we're looking at ourselves. We're not filling our minds and hearts with God and thoughts of Christ and the love of God and the power of God. We're filling our hearts and minds with our own problems, and the root of bitterness begins to take hold of us, and we begin to think how terrible life is. We descend into self-pity. Now, I'm not saying John the Baptist did all of those things. I'm, in a sense, extrapolating from him. But this is something we do. And isn't it wonderful in this passage that we have the cure for this from our Lord himself? Because Jesus immediately realizes what John the Baptist has done. John the Baptist has stopped looking into the scriptures, and he stopped looking at the Lord, and he's begun to look at his prison cell. And so Jesus says to him, John, remember the word of God. Don't look at your prison cell. Take your mind back to the scriptures. John, remember who your father is. John, remember what God has said. Remember the character of God. Go back to the scriptures, John. Go and remember those scriptures and apply those scriptures to yourself. Because then you will come out of this place where you're in trouble and in doubt. And so Jesus sends this message with this reference to Isaiah, to other parts of the scriptures, to say, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. Because he knew the moment John the Baptist heard those words, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The moment he heard those words, you know how it is, you hear some words and they spark a memory. And you think, I've heard that somewhere before. You know, they ring the bell. And John the Baptist in prison says, wait a minute, Isaiah chapter 35, of course there's a prophecy there. I remember it. My parents, my godly parents taught me those prophecies. And of course I remember how God has made those promises about the Savior. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. Do you know the devil's greatest strategy when a Christian is in difficulty is to say to that Christian, don't look at God, don't look at the scriptures, but look at yourself. And God's greatest strategy is, when you're in difficulties, don't look at yourself and your difficulties, but look to the Lord and look to the scriptures. I commend to you the thing that the Lord Jesus brought to John the Baptist's attention, the importance of God's word. Are you in difficulty today? Do you find your life full of issues, health issues, family issues? My friends, go to the scriptures. Make sure every day you're reading the scriptures. Not just reading a few verses here and there, but every day you're studying the scriptures. Not just a few verses from the Psalms. Yes, that's wonderful. But study those verses in the Psalms. And not just the Psalms. The Psalms are not the only part of the Bible. Go to the epistles. Do you know how much encouragement there is in Paul's writings, in Peter's writings? Do you know how much instruction there is in Revelation? We did a series of studies in Revelation on Sunday afternoon. And again we saw how encouraging this book is for Christians. Not just the New Testament. Go into Genesis. And go into 1 Kings, go into Chronicles. Everywhere that you go, there is encouragement for God's people. Go to the scriptures, read the scriptures, study the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, and apply the scriptures to yourself. So the first lesson that we learn from this passage is that Christ is the promised Savior. The second lesson that we learn from this passage, this truly remarkable lesson that Mike referred to in his family talk, that Christ's people are a greatly blessed people. Do you know, this is the benefit of studying the scriptures. Because when you give yourself to the study of scriptures, this is what the scriptures bring to you. What a blessed person you are. I often say this from this pulpit. Sunday afternoon we're studying Ephesians. Come with us. Come and listen to this. Because Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to be looking at it verse by verse. Ephesians chapter 1 is effectively a list of the blessings that God has given His people. You start right in verse 3, and Paul says in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing. God has blessed us. And then he begins to enumerate those blessings. He has elected us in Christ. And he has predestined us for adoption. And he has saved us. He has redeemed us. And he has forgiven us all our sins. And he has given us an heavenly hope. And we haven't even begun to look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit, as Paul expounds that in Ephesians chapter 1. All these wonderful blessings that God has given His people. And we're studying them on Sunday afternoon. You can't make Sunday afternoon. Well, what about Wednesday evening? We're studying 1 Peter in Wednesday evening. Guess what 1 Peter is about? It's about the blessings of God again. We started in 1 Peter chapter 3, and practically the same words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter begins to enumerate the blessings of God. They're a completely different list from the one found in Ephesians chapter 1. Because Peter says, he caused us to be born again by his Spirit through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he has given us a heavenly hope. And he will guard us so that we will not miss out on that heavenly hope, but we will for sure take hold of that heavenly hope. And Peter says, in this you rejoice. And he speaks about the rejoicing of God's people. And he speaks about the relationship that God's people have with Christ. Now all these wonderful passages in the New Testament that we study, all about the blessings of God. This is what a study of Scripture does. It lifts our spirits. It fills our minds with Christ and with the blessings that He has granted us. The Lord Jesus spoke these very remarkable words in verse 28. He says, "I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John." Now what he meant is, John is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Because John was an Old Testament prophet. He was in the line of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Hosea, and so on. He was one of the Old Testament prophets. But John had a greater privilege than any of the other Old Testament prophets. Because John actually saw the Savior himself. Whereas Isaiah could say, in some years' time to come, a Savior will come. John could say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You see, he actually saw Jesus. And he could actually tell his disciples that he must become greater and I must become less. And he could say to his disciples, "You follow him because he is the Savior and the Lord." So John was the most blessed of the Old Testament prophets. But then Jesus says, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." If you're a Christian here this morning, you're born again by the Spirit of God, and you love the Lord Jesus, and you put your faith in him, you have greater privileges and greater blessings than Moses, or Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or John the Baptist. Why? Because you know more about Christ and his salvation than they did. Because after John died, the Lord Jesus died. And the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ brought untold blessings upon God's people that they didn't really know and understand. They had some knowledge, but they didn't have full knowledge. But we, you see, now have the whole Bible. Yes, we have the Old Testament with all the prophecies and the law that points to Christ. But we also have the New Testament with Paul's letters and Peter's letters and John's letters and the Gospels all explaining to us the meaning of the cross. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Just why did Jesus die? And please don't just accept a vague answer. Oh, he died for my sins. He died to save me. The Bible's answer is much more detailed than that. The Bible gets into very intricate detail about the cross. Now that's there for our blessing. That is there so that we can understand the nature of our salvation, the depth of God's grace, God's love, God's mercy declared in Christ at the cross. Have you ever studied that? Have you ever studied Romans and looked at what justification means? You know, it's a fantastic doctrine. Paul in chapter 5 of Romans speaks about justification and how in Adam all sin and in Christ all are righteous. You ever studied Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, and all these wonderful places where the cross is explained. All there for our blessings. So we have a far greater understanding of the work of Christ than even John the Baptist did. We have a far greater experience of the cross than John the Baptist did. Because at the cross, the grace and love and mercy of God was sent out to all his people. We've entered into that. We've entered into a relationship with God that they had a vague idea about. Do you know in the Old Testament, not a single person ever addressed God as Father? Did you know that? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, Aaron, David, Solomon, not a single one addressed God as Father. One day the disciples of Jesus came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, you say, Our Father. I don't know if we ever grasp how incredible that must have meant to these people, how incredible that would have been to these people. They were Jews, they knew their Old Testament. Our Father? Yes. We have an experience of God that they didn't really have. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. It is one of the great blessings that has been promised in the Old Testament. That when the Lord Jesus comes and the new covenant is established, the Spirit of God will be given to all his people. And what wonderful thing it is when the Spirit of God comes. Do you ever pray to be filled with the Spirit? You should. You should pray daily to be filled with the Spirit. You should pray daily that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and possess you. You should pray daily that the Holy Spirit will come and reveal Christ and his glory and his beauty to you. That you will have a greater appreciation of the love of God and the grace of God given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray this daily. You're doing what God has commanded, because he says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. It's a present continuous tense. Continue to be filled with the Spirit. So we are, of all people, the most blessed. And it is a study of the Scriptures that reminds this of us. So we learn in the first place that Christ is the promised Savior. We learn in the second place that Christ's people are a greatly blessed people. Well, the third lesson, unfortunately, is not such a positive one, but it is an important lesson. And the third lesson is this, that Christ's word is often rejected. Because you read this in verse 29, that when all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves. And Jesus speaks about them. And Jesus says, to what shall I compare these people, these Pharisees, who are rejecting my word? And he says, well, there's this saying, I guess there was a saying that they used in those days, we played the flute for you and you did not dance, we sang a dirge and you did not weep. And he's speaking about his ministry and John the Baptist's ministry. Now, John the Baptist had a very specific ministry from God. John the Baptist was this austere man. He was in the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he wasn't the kind of man who would go to parties. Not in any way condemning him. That is the ministry God gave him. God gave him the ministry of pointing out the sins of the people and urging them to repent. And he carried out that ministry faithfully. He was there as a serious preacher from God, a prophet from God, saying to the people, you are in sin and you need to repent. But Jesus' ministry was very different. When Matthew, the tax collector, became a Christian, Jesus went to his house and there were sinners and tax collectors gathered all together, having a meal, and Jesus joined with them. A very different ministry, you see. And so Jesus refers to this. And Jesus says in verse 33, John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine. Meaning he wasn't a party animal. He wasn't the kind of person who did that sort of thing. And you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. Because the Lord Jesus would go with Pharisees and tax collectors, with tax collectors and people like that. And he would join them in their eating and drinking. And they say, look at him. A glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In other words, there was nothing that could please them. John the Baptist, with his uncompromising preaching on sin and repentance, and Jesus, with his ministry, with the special ministry that he had, they rejected both. They found excuses for both. And this is the sad truth, that there are always people who will reject the word of God and they will find excuses for doing so. All Christians are hypocrites. I know a Christian who is an absolute hypocrite, so all Christians are hypocrites. Or all Christians are dull, boring people. I know Christians who are dull and boring, so all Christians are dull and boring. Or something like that. All sorts of excuses people find to reject the word of God. Well, I say to you, if you reject the word of God, you're rejecting Christ. You're rejecting salvation. You're rejecting the hope of heaven. You're rejecting the forgiveness of sin. You're rejecting the greatest blessing human beings have ever known. The kingdom of God. God is our Father. The Lord Jesus is our Savior, the forgiveness of sins, and a sure place of heaven. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Have you believed in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Or are you one of those saying, there are excuses and excuses and excuses and I'm not going to believe? Well, there are people who are not perfect. No Christian is perfect. And no Christian is faultless. But Christ is the promised Savior. And if you trust in Him, your sins will be forgiven and you will be given a place in heaven. You need to trust in Him. Let's come to God.